Notice they're saying this meeting is being recorded. It's a long time since I've been with Ute Junction. I've been at St. Peter's quite a bit, but I do notice that there aren't many people here. We're about half of how we were at one time. Perhaps there are good reasons for that, but I think in my preparation for this morning that this topic of Deborah is a talk for today. I don't just mean today, I mean this week, this month, this year. I've been blessed as I've been preparing it, and I trust that God will speak to you through it. Deborah is one of a kind in Scripture. You'd think that she'd get mentioned in Hebrews 11, but she doesn't get mentioned, apart from the fact that Barak is mentioned. She's only mentioned as being a prophet. How many female prophets do you reckon there were in Israel? I've got a list of them here, and I hope this doesn't detract from all those other talks that you're going to have of women in the Bible. But these are the prophets that God raised up in Israel. Sarah, Miriam, Deborah, Hannah, Abigail, Huldah, and Esther. What a lovely list. But if you want to follow the story of Deborah, you need to go to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5. And I would suggest that Judges is not everybody's cup of tea. It's a bit gory in places. But we need to understand that Israel's relationship with Jehovah, with Yahweh, was a very much an up and down thing. And if we think about our own lives, we may consider that our relationship with God has been a bit up and down as well. It's a bit like a roller coaster. But in the book of Judges, we see that God blessed his people when they were obedient. And he not only didn't bless them, but he gave them into the hands of their enemies when they were disobedient, when they chose to worship the gods of the Canaanites and the people round about, rather than being the witness to the nations surrounding them, which is what he intended. And we don't actually know how it was that that Deborah was appointed, or whether she just rose up because people recognized in her a person who was a leader. There's a recurrent phrase in the book of Judges which says this: "There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what they thought was right." There was no leadership. There was no king. A drastic situation, because when there is no one pointing the way forward, people go in all directions, and that still happens throughout the world today. Unless we have direction individually and corporately, then we'll be flying off at tangents all over the place. I think I've mentioned this before, but when I used to run a Christian bookshop in Tunbridge, we had a poster that was quite popular, and it said this: "If you don't know where you're going, you'll probably get there. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up anywhere." So the book of Judges demonstrates that Israel's spiritual condition governed its political and its material well-being. Now, if you were blessed, as I was on Thursday, listening to Bishop Rose, and I've got a feeling that some of it was recorded, but I don't know how that might work out. Perhaps Danny could tell us. We were hearing from a lady who I reckon has the spirit of Deborah, even though she's called Rose. She's a fiery woman. Now, although the name Deborah means bee, as in buzzy bee, and buzzy bees make honey, but they also have a sting in the tail, the commentators from Jewish tradition have a rather different take on Deborah's meaning. It says in Judges that she was a daughter of Lapidoth, and no one knows whether Lapidoth was a person or a place, but it has to do with light. It has to do with the making of wicks that go in the oil lamp that would have been burning in the, well, it wasn't a temple because Solomon hadn't built it by that time, but the place where they were worshipping in Bethel would have had lamps. And Barak and Deborah had to do with making the light burn brighter. Now, there's a challenge for us. Let the flame burn brighter in the midst of the darkness. There's a song about that, isn't there? Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of the darkness. You know the one? Well, that's what God's people were intended to be like among the nations. And that applies not only to our nation of Great Britain, but it applies to us as the church. We're supposed to be giving light in the darkness. And Deborah rose up to be a leader in that way. At the time that she was living, the people of Israel had been under persecution from King Jabin. He came from up north. And they were being terribly oppressed. Now, in our discussion time later, we can think of how we, the church, is being oppressed, how we as individuals may be oppressed, how the nation might be oppressed. And what are we going to do? Do we rely on our leaders? And are our leaders up to the job of leading us? So when the nation was obedient in following Yahweh, he graciously sent saviors to rescue them. And in Joshua chapter 24, before Joshua died, he gave the people a warning. He said, if you follow the law, if you do what the law says, you'll be blessed. If you don't, there'll be trouble. And the people in Joshua's day said, it's all right, Joshua, we will follow the Lord. Joshua dies, and almost within no time, everyone's doing their own thing because there's no leadership. So as the book of Judges progresses, Israel's problem gets worse. After the stunning victories that we'll come on to, of Deborah and Barak, Jephthah and Samson were far less than decisive in their battles against Ammon and the Philistines. And by the end of the book, the account of sin and all-out civil war in Israel illustrate their need as a people for unity and order. That's what they had a need of. So monarchy was being taught or being expected rather than anarchy. And the implication is that a nation, any nation, led by a godly king or queen, would experience God's blessing. But left to their own devices, Israel couldn't rise to her intended goal. That goal to be God's ambassador to the nations. She needed a king, a ruler, a leader. So that's a bit of background. And Judges is not a teaching book. It's a book where we glean the teaching points by looking at what was going on and how Deborah was a star. She was based at Bethel, in the Bethel area, in the land of Ephraim. And it's quite likely that Barak was a relative, if not a husband. She judged the people. She gave out wise judgments. Sitting under her special tree, the people came to her, and she discerned what God's will was in their situation. One day she called Barak to herself and said, "This is what needs to happen." And a few, well, over the last month or so, we've been looking at the diocesan vision, haven't we? All nod. Yeah. Do you remember what the points are and the last three words? Therefore, we will. And for me, those three words are the key as to whether this is just a vision which is full of words or whether it's going to actually make a difference. So Deborah says to Barak, "You've got to go up north and draw an army together from the tribes that are up north, the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar and others, and get ready and go to Mount Tabor." Interestingly, Mount Tabor is probably the Mount of Transfiguration. "Go to Mount Tabor, and I will arrange for Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, to actually come, and you can then come down the mountain and beat him in battle." And dear Barak said, "Okay, but I'll only do it if you come with me." Now, we might think that that's Barak being a bit of a scaredy cat, or we could say that he actually respected Deborah's prophetic insight. I prefer that he appreciated Deborah's prophetic insight, and he needed her alongside him. He was going to be championing the soldiers. And this is a good point to read something from Judges. Judges 5. Verses 1 to 9, if you want the scripture. I'm reading from the Living Bible, and it's a song that was sung after the battle. It starts chapter 5, verse 1. "Then Deborah and Barak sang this song about the wonderful victory. Praise the Lord." Now, this is where the teaching comes. "Israel's leaders bravely led, the people gladly followed. Yes, bless the Lord. Listen, O you kings and princes, for I shall sing about the Lord, the God of Israel. When you led us up out of Seir, out across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled and the sky poured down its rain. Yes, even Mount Sinai quaked at the presence of the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar and of Jael, the main roads were deserted. Travelers used the narrow, crooked side paths. Israel's population dwindled until Deborah became a mother to Israel. When Israel chose new gods, everything collapsed. Our masters would not let us have a shield or spear. Among 40,000 men of Israel, not a weapon could be found. How I rejoice in the leaders of Israel who offered themselves so willingly. Praise the Lord." That has a lot to say to us about leadership and people following. The only real definition of a leader is that when the leader turns round, there's someone following. If nobody's following, then you're not a leader. So Barak goes up north, gets an army of 10,000 people together, and from that song we can understand that they didn't have any weapons. They only had farm implements. No swords, just hammers and shovels and such. Deborah draws Sisera along the valley of the river Kishon, and the Israeli army comes down from Mount Tabor. And the leader, Sisera, manages to get away, and he ends up in the home or the tent of a lady called Jael. And Jael hasn't got any weapons either. All she's got is a hammer and a tent peg. And while Sisera lies down to sleep, having had some milk to drink, she does him in with the tent peg. And then when Barak comes looking, she shows him that the enemy is dealt with. So even in the issue of spiritual warfare, leadership is needed. How do we battle in the spirit? Who demonstrates to us how to put the devil to flight when he comes and accuses us, as we were thinking earlier? When the accuser comes, the Lord raises up a standard against him. And in a battle situation, when the standard is raised, the soldiers gather to where the standard is. Moving on to Bishop Rose, she has raised a standard. And it's our business to rally to the standard. Am I making sense here? Because unless the leader has followers, nothing changes. So I'd encourage you to look back over the various talks on the diocesan vision and see how it is that we, as part of the children of God, we as Junction, we as St. Peter's Parish, with all the different congregations and groups, how we can make a difference for the kingdom of God by encouraging one another, by reaching out from where we are in our homes, in our streets, by reaching beyond our borders. And I'm looking at the screen at the moment, and apart from Steve and Danny, there are lots of ladies here. And that's good, because some of you are more prophetic than others, and some of you are more pastoral than others, but we need the mix of the gifting of God in order to make a difference. And leadership is not just a male prerogative. Do you hear that? It's no good saying we're a can't-do people, because God says we're a can-do people. And even though the children of Israel had no weapons, with the right leadership, they rose up and conquered the Canaanites. Now, none of us looking around is particularly aggressive, are we? We're not an aggressive people, but we can be firm in the Spirit of God and make a difference. I'll just give you a few references to Israel having no king. Judges 17, verse 6, chapter 18, verse 1, and chapter 21, verse 25. The key to the book of Judges is God's people need leadership. So God bless us as we discuss, as we move out from Sunday into the week to make a difference where we are. God bless you all. Let's start with questions for a few minutes. I'm sure Judith will keep us to time.